Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Musa, Sergeant, Pulisic on the run. Pulisic has Weah. Pulisic rolls it in. Tim Weah! Johnson quickly in. Ramsey's there first, cutting it into the middle. Oh, dangerous from Zimmerman. It's a penalty. Penalty for Wales as Bale goes down.
Walker Zimmerman just tries to go through Gareth Bale there. He doesn't need to. Bale is in front of him.
Scores.
Garoppolo under center, offset eye behind him. Here's the snap, play fake. Garoppolo has Kittle wide open, left sideline of the 25, down to the 20, 15 to the 10, down to the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, George Kittle. And a big spike of the football. Palms to the heavens, acknowledging the fans. George Kittle takes it in from 32 yards out, and the 49ers are blowing out the Cardinals.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez all in studio at the same time. That's good stuff, isn't it? It's the best. It happens few and far between, but we want to make it special when we're together, so that's why we don't do it that often. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to talk to Lance Leipold like we do every Tuesday. We're going to talk to Matt Beasler by phone. Why do you want us to talk to Lebo at 7:30? Is there something I should know?
No, that was a mistake.
It's never a mistake to talk to Todd. I thought you wanted to talk to Todd again.
No, that's supposed to be Joe Valerio. Joe Valiabo.
Gary Lezak, Mark Boerichter, Jeff Chedia, all that and more between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We could also listen to some comments from Andy Reid at the podium yesterday as he spoke to the media and gave us his thoughts on what happened between the Chiefs and the who the hell did they beat? The LA Chargers and the game coming up against the Rams. And so we'll hear from Andy Reid as well. The World Cup has started. A lot of stuff going on. The 49ers beat up on the Cardinals in Mexico last night. And so that was, if you're a 49ers fan, that's a good game to watch. Careful here, dumb dumb, before you put your foot in your mouth. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up as the best team in the NFC when it's all said and done. They don't have the best record, I get it. But now they are back atop their division, tied with the Seahawks. I think they're better than the Seahawks. It's interesting now because it went from, it looked like a lot of poop in the NFC to where I, like, of course I'd listen to a case for Philadelphia to be the best team. I would have listened to the case for Minnesota to be the best team, but it's difficult to wash the stink off of an ass-kicking like what we saw at the hands of Dallas. Now, that was fresh off an emotional victory in Buffalo, which was fantastic. But man, did Dallas put it on them. I'd listen to Dallas as well because of their talent. But, man, San Francisco, when they've got it all rolling and they're all their weapons are healthy, that's quite an assortment of unique weapons when you put together Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, and now Brandon Ayuk is dangerous. I mean, you think about that. And I know that the Chiefs face that, but they, you know what, they face the 49ers days after McCaffrey had been acquired. I think the Chiefs are better than the 49ers. And I think the Chiefs are a bad matchup for the 49ers. But just talking about the NFC, that's a handful right there for defensive coordinators. If they're all healthy. Now, you know, that's McCaffrey and Kittle to stay healthy and both be healthy at the same time. It's kind of like us all being in studio together. It doesn't happen that often, so it'd be, you know.
But when it does, it's pretty impressive.
If they're all healthy, and Deebo Samuel, if they're all healthy together, I mean, you think about that.
Yeah.
And that's you know, and look, they know what they're doing, calling plays offensively.
Yep.
And they have a good defense, a good physical defense. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if in Arizona to end the season, it's a rematch between the 49ers and the Chiefs.
No, that would not be shocking.
That wouldn't shock me.
No.
And I know you don't want to go overboard because the Cardinals are just, you never know what you're going to get with them. One week they'll look, hey, they look good. That looks like a competitor. You know, that looks like a contender. And then next week, God, they look like dogs. You remember how terrible they looked? It's partly because the Chiefs are so good, but I mean they looked horrible week one against the Chiefs. They looked horrible last night. Mm-hmm. And so you never know what you're gonna get with them. But I was really impressed with the 49ers. They gave up a lot to get McCaffrey. Kittle, I mean, when he's healthy, he's a stud. And I love Deebo Samuel. You know, Ayuk's coming into his own. So Garoppolo had four touchdown passes. That's the thing that can always hold you back. He can have some mind numbing interceptions, but when he plays well, he's taking care of the football. I mean, he's good enough to get you to the Super Bowl because he got him to the Super Bowl before. And this team is offensively better than that team. They have more weapons. I don't know if the defense is as good, but yeah, that was, I don't, like, who's the best team in the NFC to you? Don't look at records.
Well, I
don't be a simp.
I don't want to do this because I'm going to sound like I'm just, you know, kissing up. But I actually had the same exact thought last night as I was watching that game. That team might be the best team in the NFC.
Ooh.
And they've won three in a row. You know, they made the trade for McCaffrey, and he did play against the Chiefs. But, you know, he had just joined the team a couple days earlier, and they lost that game. But they haven't lost since. Now, they played the Rams, the Chargers, and the Cardinals. And you can make a case that the Chargers are the only good team there. But A three-game winning streak in the NFL is a three-game winning streak. And they do have all the things you said. If you're going to make it to the Super Bowl with a good but not great quarterback, you have to have a good recipe of, you know, a good running game, good weapons that quarterback can get the ball to, and a really good defense. And they have all that.
Right.
And that, I think that what the way they've played over the past 3 weeks justifies the McCaffrey trade, right? Because you could have looked at it at the time, and what, they were below 500, I think, right? They're 6-4 now, and they won three in a row. So, yeah, so they were 3-4 when they made the trade. 2-4. What were they? Anyway.
This won't happen that often. sounder, soccer sounder. I'm going to interrupt football talk to talk soccer. And I, if you want to, if you come up, drive up here and slap me right in my mouth if you don't like it. So, and this is the unique thing about us doing the show in the morning. There's games going on now.
Yeah.
We're in it.
Yeah.
Look at me, Kansas City. We're knee deep in this. Okay? Saudi Arabia has just beaten Argentina. And I just, an alert just came up on my iPad. One of the biggest upsets in World Cup history. Now, they're not out or anything like that, but just, is that true?
Yeah.
Is that, how big
Scott,
is this?
Yeah, it's stunning.
If I'd have told you that yesterday, like I like Saudi Arabia's chances against Argentina, what would you have said? Like, you don't know nothing, you dummy.
I've got Argentina winning the World Cup, so.
Wow, the Bukati curse has gone international.
It's gone global, baby. It's gone to... It's affected one of the great soccer powers of the world. Yeah, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Marco, is it unbelievable? Is he? Is this hyperbole from Nate Buchanan?
No, it's very unbelievable. I don't know. Does that sound right?
Sure. Whatever you think.
Well, I mean, just from one standpoint, you know, the way they put these groups, the top teams, there's a one seed through a four seed in each group. And clearly Argentina was the one seed in this group, mm-hmm. and Saudi Arabia was the four seed. The other two Middle Eastern teams that have played so far in this tournament got throttled. Qatar got beat 2-0 by Ecuador. And yesterday, Iran got beat 6-2 by England. So people were thinking, well, this isn't a very good look for the region of the Middle East when it comes to soccer. They're not looking so good. And then Saudi Arabia goes and beats Argentina today. I'll bet you Argentina is one of the top four or five Vegas odds to win the World Cup. And they still could theoretically go win the World Cup, but that's how big of an upset this is.
And who's in the group with them?
Poland and Mexico are the other two teams. And now they're both going to be playing against each other today, thinking we might actually have a chance to win this group. You know, it's
realistically, now, how much danger is Argentina in of not advancing?
They're in danger.
It's in the conversation.
Yeah, they're
now
in danger.
Because Mexico and Poland, they're not just pushovers.
No, they're both decent teams. I mean, Poland's got one of the greatest players in the whole world in Robert Lewandowski. Mexico's Mexico, man. They always have good players. You know, so they've been struggling. It's been a rough go the last couple years for Mexico, but they're Mexico. So yeah, they're not pushovers at all.
Damn right we're not.
So
kind of are.
I mean, losing your first game is usually devastating in the World Cup because you only get three of them. Right. And the way things play out, teams are going to kind of know what their situations are after that. By the time the third game rolls around, a lot of times the team knows, hey, if we just get a tie, we're good. Some teams know we don't even need to play today. You know, so it changges everything. I mean, it's devastating.
How devastating was it for the U.S. not to get a win? And he gave up that goal late.
Devastating is an overstatement, but it's damaging. Very damaging. They're not devastated, but they're damaged.
Did you cry?
No, but I was very
upset.
Yeah.
Could you have cried?
No. Oh. If they don't advance out of the group, I wouldn't cry, but I'll be very sad.
How much trouble are they in?
They're in a decent amount of trouble. Like, they, all of a sudden, this game on Friday against England becomes very important to get a draw at least, which is tough because they're going to be the underdogs. They can.
England looked pretty good.
England looked really good. And England has a loaded roster. So it's going to be a challenge. But it wouldn't be like the United States beating England would be an upset. It wouldn't be the kind of upset we just saw with Saudi Arabia beating Argentina. It wouldn't be at that level. So stranger things have happened. But even a draw would be huge for the U.S. They could still advance even if they lose to England, but it becomes much, much harder. And they have to count on England beating Wales as well. And England won't have anything to play for at that point. So they'll probably rest all their best players. Their backups are all pretty damn good too. But I think that like it becomes very important for the United States to get a result on Friday. So you didn't want to put yourself in that position. If you'd won that game against Wales, then you could have gone in with a free mind against England, and it's all gravy. If you get a result, great. If not, you're still in good shape as long as you beat Iran. But now you kind of they're gonna have pressure to try to get a result in on Friday against England. But screw England, let's go.
Wow.
You know, I like a good underdog story in the United States every once in a while, don't we?
Well, I mean, if Saudi Arabia can beat Argentina, then anybody can beat anyone in this thing.
100%. That's exactly right.
Throw the record books out is what people say now. What?
Saudi Arabia was a live 125-1 bet when Argentina went up 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I tried hard to get Marco to bet on the Kansas City Ruse before the show ended because they tipped off yesterday morning at 10 a.m., right?
Right.
And what did they do against LSU? They covered.
They did.
What did they do at K-State? They covered. Now they got beat by Illinois. Illinois is good, you know, really good, but whatever. Okay? And so they're playing, I don't know, what tournament are they playing in? The
I can't remember the name of it.
Look it up,
is
Marco!
It the one at T-Mobile?
No.
No!
T-Mobile. No. But anyway, they were matched up against Toledo. And Toledo is a KenPom top 100 team, right? And Toledo was favored by 18. And I told Marco, I said, that's not right. That's not right. I'm sitting here in the state of Missouri. I can't bet on nothing. I said, get an early start to your Thanksgiving festivities. I said, throw something down on UMKC because they're going to cover that for sure.
Gulf Coast Showcase.
And he's going, he said, the Gulf Coast Showcase?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he was hemming and hawing about something. I said, okay, I'm just telling you. He goes, you want me to throw something down for you? I said, no, not right. I'm just telling you. I'm giving you a friendly tip.
Make some money.
That the Ruse, I think, they've already faced three teams better than Toledo, I think, and they've hung in with two of them. I think this is they're not going to lose by 18. They're not going to lose. This is going to be good. UMKC won by 12. Did you bet?
No.
Okay, did I tell you to? Did I give you that advice?
You gave me the advice. You didn't tell me to go put a slip in.
No, but I said you should throw some down on UMKC. I gave you that advice.
It was busy at 10 o'clock
yesterday.
I know,
but do you kind of kick yourself for not doing that? A little bit.
I mean, doesn't every person feel a little bit of regret when a bet or when they hear something and then they don't go through with it and then it happens?
So maybe just I hope Gary Dieter went against him against LSU, went with him at K-State. Hopefully he went with him again in that 10 a.m. tip-off. But congrats to that's the first time they beat a top 100 team since 2016. So all right then.
Maybe I'll lay something on this Indiana State game.
All right then.
Hey, there you go.
All right.
4 o'clock this afternoon.
And Larry Bird ain't walking through that door. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's hear Andy Reid. We'll play Andy Reid clip number one, where he breaks down Sunday's win over the L.A. Chargers. And you'll also hear Adam Teicher and Sam McDowell ask about Travis Kelce.
I don't have any injuries for you right now, but we'll have some results here a little bit later. Good win for our football team, I guess a good team. Seems like every game comes down to the end with this group when we play them. A lot of good individual efforts, good team efforts on each side of the ball and special teams. It was a heck of a football game. Anyways, with that time, yours.
Let's go first to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy. You talked after the game last night that you really need to appreciate guys like Kelce because they get old and they won't be around forever. so far he seems to have avoided that, the aging thing. What is it about him that it's kind of allowed him, at least so far, to beat Father Time?
Now, I know he made a cognizant effort this year of coming back in great shape. He maintained that all the way through the offseason and into training camp. So I think that's helped him. Is, you know, that especially for this year. Last year he came in a little bit heavy and kind of worked through it. This year he came in phenomenal shape.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Sam.
Last night, Travis mentioned something about noticing the way Derwin was playing him as far as on his outside shoulder and the routes that, you know, I assumed that took away as far as the verticality and going outside. Is that a conversation you guys have on the sideline? Is that something you're able to notice? Is that something he picks up and spots to you? Because I assume that's one of the reasons you thought that the drag route might have a little bit of success there late.
Yeah, we did see that. And we're always aware of how they're trying to play him. And, you know, we call it butching him. So they'll come in and try to really hammer him. But with what kind of leverage they're trying to do that with. And Derwin was playing him a little bit more outside leverage. He changed it up a little bit, but he played like mostly outside leverage. And we figured, even though it's tight and he's still trying to hit him, that Kels could set it up, you know, and that was a little bit part of it. Also the man coverage stuff, they really jumped into quite a little bit of man coverage. So that was also part of it.
That was Andy Reid yesterday. So no new news on the multiple injuries the Chiefs suffered on Sunday night. But you heard him talking about Travis Kelce and why. I mean, honestly, I hear people say, well, he's a step slower. Like, is he?
Yeah, I keep hearing that too.
Like, what are you watching?
Why does he keep running away from people? If that's happening,
he looks as good as he's ever looked.
Yeah,
and his route running is better, even crisper.
Man, I'm glad to hear you say that because I feel like people are painting the picture of a guy who's just a wily veteran that knows how to find the open spots. He's overcoming his lack of athleticism at this point. It's like the best safety in the game can't cover him.
Like people start off. Like I know he's lost a step. Like has
what?
He? Where?
Like,
where at?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, but fine.
Yeah, I don't see that at all.
So
I'm glad you said that.
Are you?
That's why he's at the peak right now, because he has that veteran savvy to him while also still being explosive. It's crazy.
All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Kansas head football coach Lance Leipold right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As Nate Ducati is reeling from the news that Saudi Arabia has upset Argentina. And so what time did that game start, local time?
4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Were you up? Did you get up and watch it?
No, I didn't. Honestly, I didn't think there was going to be reason until I expected to wake up and... You know.
You would have, though, huh?
Oh, man.
You'd have seen that one. All right, let's talk.
Might have been the biggest moment of the whole World Cup, the goal that Saudi Arabia scored to win. We'll see. We'll see if something tops it.
You're talking football.
Football.
We're
going to
talk football.
Let's talk some football.
With Kansas head coach Lance Leipold. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing fine. How are you?
We were talking about the World Cup because Argentina lost, and Nate is going crazy because it's one of the biggest upsets he can imagine. I know that you're very busy, but are you at all? Do you like the World Cup at all or soccer? I want to see if you're going to break Nate's heart right now. Any interest in that at all, Coach?
I can't say. I have a chance to really follow it.
That's fine.
I've got one of our communications
We have a couple in the office that are like walking around with their phones in their hands watching. Right. So, but yeah, we got to find a way to slow down this Kansas State, offense and program. I don't have time for the other one right now.
That's right. Yeah, Nate's walking around with a different jersey every day. He's all fired up. But this guy's Mr. Soccer in Kansas City, Coach.
But I have a different job. I'm glad, Coach, that you're not really paying attention to the World Cup. But you got other things on your mind.
It would be weird if you said, "Yeah, I was up at 4 a.m. watching Argentina. I can't believe it."
I actually, as much as I'd be happy as a soccer fan, I would really be, as a KU football fan, that would really worry me if you're like, "Oh, I watched every minute of that."
I can't get enough of this. This is great.
Well, I thought maybe that Patrick Mahomes gave the Fonz a jersey. I thought Nate would at least get one from Richie Cunningham or Patsy Weber or something like that.
So now it sounds like you were a Happy Days fan because that was my favorite show when I was a kid. That was a great show.
Oh yeah, I'm dating myself, Stephen, but I thought that was pretty cool.
That was very cool. I loved it. I just love the fact that, like Fonzie, Henry Winkler is like all of us when we watch Patrick Mahomes. It's like a big smile on our face, and none of us can believe what we see. So that was very exciting. So, Coach, I read where you said that you had one of your best practices, one of your best Monday practices that you've had in a long time, on the heels of that loss to Texas. Tell me just about how why you consider that one of your best practices coming off that loss.
Well, obviously, not a good performance in many areas. We struggled. They played extremely well. Big time running back had a career day, and a lot of different things that didn't occur there that we wanted to. And, here you are heading to the last game. Yes, it's a rivalry game and those things. But to kind of watch where we've been at physically coming out of games and that. But we moved around and had a little, we talked about it right after the game that we're going to turn the page quickly. We're going to own what's on film. And they needed to show up with that type of attitude. And I really appreciate the way they have because they did. They did what we've asked, and now we need to put another good one together here in a couple hours.
Okay, Coach. So one of the storylines in this game obviously was the incredible performance on the ground by Texas, and Bijan Robinson is an absolute beast. We know that, and I know what I saw you also say yesterday that hey, there were some added yards out there because of missed tackles and yards after contact, and that you feel like maybe there are some things you can correct there. In a weird way, is that encouraging? I don't know if encouraging is the right word, but it's one thing if you look at the film and go, they just beat us and there's nothing we can do about it, as opposed to, okay, we could have stopped some of these running plays if maybe we were a little more fundamental in our tackling. In other words, like, do you see some things you can correct that make you feel like, you can get better in that aspect of the game?
Yeah, you can talk about fundamentally, whether it be wrapping up, angles, all those type of things, and then here we go back-to-back week with All-American running backs and another one that can, make you miss and make you look silly at top of a dime. So it's challenging and it can be eye-opening in many ways. But again, having these type of running backs and these type of challenges in back-to-back weeks can definitely grab your attention and make sure you have great focus in as we go through the week of preparation.
We have Coach Lance Leipold on the show. All right, Coach, let's look ahead to this matchup to end the regular season between your team and Kansas State. And again, in reading through some of your comments that you made yesterday, you just said that you need to carry your end of the rivalry. And for those of us who have been watching this, we know that the last time Kansas won in this series was back in 2008. Now, you don't have anything to do with those games, but you come in here, again, trying to establish your program. And I remember when Bill Snyder came in, he put such a great emphasis when he started at Kansas State on beating Kansas, on winning the state. I'm just curious what kind of emphasis you put on that and how important this rivalry is and how important it is for Kansas to be competitive and start to win some of these games against Kansas State.
Well, you know, I guess the nice thing, first of all, I don't know if I'm going to answer this to your complete liking, but it's the nice thing I like about it this year is that it's the last game of the year. So, you know, whether or not both of us have a chance to play in a bowl game and no singer going to be neat, but the rest, and you know, there's a lot more at stake at this. But to be able to put it towards the end of the year is something I hope we can do. Especially on a Thanksgiving weekend, I think it'll keep our state crowd what we want them to be. But right now, we're going to take it seriously. Yes, we want to win the game. Yes, we do it. But are we going to make it an all or nothing? Because we have so many things yet as we keep finding out that we have to focus internally in our program to continue to build upon the foundation that we've been able to establish to get ourselves in a position to be the type of Big 12 team we want to be each and every week. So we're working on correcting all those other things. It's not going to be all or nothing, but at the same time, we know that many of these players have played against each other. We know what it'll do for recruiting. We know what it'll do for alumni and all those other things. So it is 100% serious, and we want to be focused, but I'm not quite at that, maybe that quote that maybe Coach Snyder had when he first took over.
So, Chris Klieman and you both, there's some similarities, I would say, because you both came from a lower division of football and won national titles and built these incredible programs, and now you find yourselves in the state of Kansas. And I'm curious just how well you know him, how far you guys go back, and what the relationship is like between the two of you, because it seems like I think KU and K-State fans would hope to see you guys playing against each other several years, going forward.
Yeah, I've had great respect for Chris and what he's done, and partially for the big reason is how you talked about his career as well, and done more with less resources and to get to this point. We've known each other probably for a while. We have a lot of common friends, I guess, probably more in that regard, and really since probably taking this job and being around each other a little bit more, we've gotten to know each other. Even a lot better. There's multiple staff members of his I know pretty well, and so do some of our coaches. So, though it's a rivalry in many ways, I would say, and I don't want to speak for Chris, but I do think there's a lot of mutual respect and admiration about how each program goes about it.
We're visiting with Lance Leipold, Kansas football coach, and coach, obviously, your quarterback situation, you decided to go with Jalen Daniels last week. I know that you have said, and he said, that maybe there was a little bit of rust there for him as he was trying to work his way back in that game against Texas. The thing I wanted to ask you, the television commentators speculated a little bit that maybe he was a little hesitant to run the ball the way that he did back before he got injured. And look, I also understand that Jason Bean's banged up. If you don't feel like you have a lot of depth at the running back position, it would stand to reason that maybe just in general you guys are hesitant to take too many chances. But I guess I just like to get your comments on that. How do you feel about was he hesitant to run? Is that something you guys wanted? How did you feel about that performance in general?
Yeah, we didn't really have discussions. Are you willing to run, not willing to run? We're probably as hesitant as calling plays and some of that. And then at the running back position, we're not as healthy as we'd like to be. So there's a lot of common things that have been taken out of the game plan that things we were doing really well early in the year. And that's just where it's at right now. But Jalen was right back out there yesterday. Jason's feeling a little better as well. So I think with a couple good days yet again, we'll be even in a better position than we were heading into Texas as the collective backfield is concerned. And we won't play for another month or so from there. So we've got a chance to get back to opening some things up and do what we need to do to try to move the ball in. And honestly, guys, you look at some other things, some of our offensive numbers Jalen's numbers were solid, but our third and fourth and short, conversions and that were poor. And if we have a chance to convert a couple more of those and have a chance to keep some drives alive, hang out of the ball longer, keep our defense off the field, find ways to get points, had a touchdown taken off the board, missed a field goal right after that. All of a sudden, that first half kind of puts you in a little different light, and hopefully you're going in halftime feeling better about yourselves, and you make it a better football game. And we just didn't do that in so many ways. And hopefully, you know, healthier. And like I said, Jalen did not want to come out of the game. And finally, I made a decision that, you know, the fourth quarter, we're going to get Jason back in there. So he wanted to keep working at it after his time missed. And I can't say enough about him wanting to keep moving this football team.
Well, that touchdown that got taken off the board, which did at the time feel like a very big moment in the game when your team was finally starting to click on offense and maybe go into the locker room with some momentum, like you said. Then the rules official came on the television right after that and said that was not a good call for illegal man downfield because he was still in the buffer zone. what do you do, right? Like, I guess they can tell you afterwards that it was a bad call. That doesn't change anything for you.
Yeah, that one's going to get sent in. There's no doubt about that one. But I don't know if I can say that, but I did. And, you know, we felt the guy was engaged and he was right in kind of no man's land. And you know, we do get some things sent to us from the league and, before the games that are sent to the officials and point of emphasis. And unfortunately, point of emphasis going into last week's game, one of them was watching linemen downfield and calling it closer. And, you know, that got us there, unfortunately. But I do feel that, you know, if it's 17-7, we're just in such a better mindset. And we just did not respond and rebound off of that.
So when you send something in, then you, like they'll respond. And if they agree with you, I mean, is it just like,
you know,
okay, or is, what
you guys don't get a copy of that? Like, they don't, like, don't you think that'd be really cool if every school that sent them in, then they publicized it?
Yes.
No, I don't think they're going to do that, guys.
I'd like to see that.
Everybody sends in plays. And then you send it in and you ask them to look at it. You put in what you're disputing, and then they'll send it back to you and say agree or disagree. And then I take it and I put it in a file.
Hey, I was right.
Well,
yeah. So
maybe at the end of the year or something, or we do an off-season one of these, I'll give you my percentage like they do the guys that pick games.
So you keep the ones even if they don't agree, you put that in one file. If they agree, you keep that in the other file. And then
they all come on the same sheet.
Okay.
You probably got to be a little judicious about it, right? Like, you don't want to be the guy that's sending in 10 complaints every week, and they're like, yeah, 8 of those are actually good calls.
Right. Because
you don't want to be that. Or maybe you do. I don't know. You got to be a little strategic about it. Yeah. Right. I guess shut this guy up. Let's start giving him some calls.
I got a list of plays every week I want to submit. I got nobody. I submit them to Nate, and he just looks at me.
I give him a file. I got a file for him, though. Right.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. Good luck in the game on Saturday.
Could I ask Nate one question?
I wish you would.
Yeah. Nate, how often do people fake injuries in those soccer games?
I think we got a file on that. You know, we need a file on that.
Hey, and they're rolling around. You think, man, this guy's really hurt. And then 5 minutes later, he's running full speed. Like, what the hell just happened to
him? I have to say, it's kind of creeping its way into football a little bit. I mean, like, the flop that we saw that Herbert take, you know, on the touch by when Bolton kind of just barely pushed him out of bounds. And Herbert, like, launched himself 10 yards.
Exactly.
Flopping is making its way to America. I, whether we like it or not, I'm not a fan of it, but it's happening.
I'm with you, Coach. That was the best question of the week. Thank you very much, Coach. Right. We appreciate your time.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and appreciate the opportunity again, guys. Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Coach. We appreciate you. That's Coach Lance Leipold who joins us. Legitimate question he wanted to ask you, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's a decent amount. It's not my favorite part of the game.
That's Marco loves that part of the game.
I don't think that anybody really loves watching it.
I do. I like the replays where they show, like, there was no contact, and immediately the guy grabs his leg. He's in, like, in tremendous pain.
It is kind of
and
fun.
Rolls around. I do like that.
I do, too.
I go, look at this guy.
I will admit, I like to count the roles. Like, when a guy gets fouled, and then he'll do three like rolls, like three somersaults right. to really sell the foul. Because like the more rolls you get into it, I think you know the more punishment the guy.
Or like
get.
When there's no contact made, like how yeah. does he decide which body part to grab?
Yeah,
like,
he's got to make that.
I feel like you could have touched yeah. my knee. Ah! We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, let's play some Eli Drinkwitz because the Mizzou Tigers have a big game coming up against Arkansas. And to win it, if they win it, they become bowl eligible. And if they don't, they won't. So here's Eli Drinkwitz talking about Arkansas this Friday.
Obviously, very thankful for the fans. You know, we got a great fan base Saturday night. Those who stuck it out in some really tough conditions. We got people that didn't even wear shirts the entire game. Need to check on those guys this week, make sure they're healthy. But just really appreciative of them and our fan base and the support, and really need them to rally this week. Got a very difficult challenge ahead of us. Obviously, rivalry week in a game, the Battle Line Trophy versus Arkansas, and we need a big home field advantage. And our student section has been that for us. And I know they're on Thanksgiving break, but don't eat too much turkey. Get over the tryptophan. Get here for Friday's game. And let's make sure that our student section is rocking, that we're loud on third downs, and we give our team a huge advantage with the environment that we play in. Obviously, Coach Pittman's done an excellent job at the University of Arkansas, and they've got a really good football team. They've had a lot of consistency in their coordinators. Obviously, have maintained the same three coordinators for three seasons. You can tell that they play fast within their schemes. Offensively, their quarterback is the engine that makes them go. Obviously, this will be the third time that we've played against him. Golly, I hope he's graduating or going pro or something. Holy cow, he's an unbelievable player. Is able to really throw the football extremely well. He's a physical runner. But I think the thing that separates him is his ability to read defenses and then even when protection breaks down, make the first defender miss, whether they're on him or not, and then extend plays. The play he made against BYU before half that led to a touchdown drive is as special a play as you can make as a quarterback. And just have a lot of respect for KJ as a player and know that he's also a young man of high character. So it's going to be a very difficult challenge for our defense. Raheem Sanders, Rocket, is a tremendous running back, got great patience. They do a really nice job with their schemes to get him the ball in space. The transfer, Jaden Hazelwood, is a dynamic wide receiver that they use a lot like they did with the Burks kid last year, so they have a very good understanding of what they're trying to do. You know, defensively, they're very multiple in their scheme. Bumper Pool, the linebacker that's been there for as long as we can remember, same with Hudson Clark, very good players, very good on the front. They were able to reload with some transfers on the defensive line. And then, obviously, the special teams. Cam Little, their kicker, is a really good kicker, and Coach Fountain does an excellent job. So, got our hands full.
You don't want to put too much on one game, but this is a huge game for Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri. If they win, they finish 6-6, bowl eligible, with a chance to finish with a winning record of winning the bowl game. If they lose, they're 5-7. They can still be in a bowl game, but 5-7 bowl game. beat Arkansas, a team you recruit against. And you become bowl eligible, and you finish the regular season with a good taste in your mouth, with back-to-back wins, and with a chance to go to a bowl game. So this yes, and Arkansas is favored by 3. It's in Columbia. That's a big game. One of those recruiters he's talking about, one of those coordinators that have been there for a while, his name is Barry Odom. And he recruited a lot of the players that Mizzou will have, or at least some of the players that Mizzou will have out there on the field. So, yes, that's a big game for Eli Drinkwitz. They need to win that game. All right? Back after this on WHB.